are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now it's time for us to get into our mental health chat once again with Busi, the therapist, joining us on the line. Busi, how are you doing this beautiful morning?
I am good. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us yet again for another chat on mental health. Today, focusing on help or hindrance, particularly with focus on the way that mental health has been portrayed in the media, the way that the media shapes public perception, for better or for worse. And today we're asking the question, are we moving toward a greater understanding, or are stereotypes actually still holding us back? And so jumping straight into the conversation for today, Busi, how would you say mental health representation in the media has changed over the years?
If we were to give a Wushem congratulation, I would give that. I would give that golden ticket to each and every initiative of mental health that's been done. Mm-hmm. In terms of now we are more aware of mental health. There's Mental Health Awareness Month. Where were these things when we were in school?
Right.
Because I don't remember October being a Mental Health Month. Mm-mm. I don't remember June being a Men's Mental Health Month.
No.
I don't remember November being a Movember, you know. Mm. But now we have all these platforms of understanding that there is a Mental Health Awareness Month. I've been preaching that we need June to be a Youth Mental Health Awareness Month, not just June 16. If you focus more on youth mental health awareness and touch on the June 16. So we've transitioned, we've changed. We're trying to make mental health not a taboo, a topic of saying, oh my goodness, don't talk to that person, they might be crazy, because that's what we knew growing up.
Exactly.
If mental health is wrong, it's a crazy person.
It's interesting you should mention that, because in fact, because of all these initiatives and so much more conversation around mental health, I remember that when it kind of became a thing, a lot of people were like, where are all these issues coming from? You know, this is a weak generation. You guys don't know how to handle your issues. We never had these things. And the fact of the matter is that, that was a problem.
Because it's so foreign
to us that, you know, this thing where we talk about this on a regular basis, and that it's a thing that affects so many people. It's not just the crazy person, in quote unquote, crazy person on the street that you see talking to himself, but even your pastor can have mental health issues. Even that CEO in the boardroom, that person who seems to have it all together, could be struggling.
Yes.
And what a lesson it's been to learn that, hey, you're not alone if you're going through things and you're wondering, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah. And it takes us back when I used to make a joke and say, no wonder my teacher was always moody every morning with a shambok.
Hey.
And you're thinking, this is not about maths.
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
This is not about the maths. There's something beyond the maths. And now our 2000s understand that if you come in with an attitude or a certain behavior, they will link it to say, it is not about us. It's about something that my teacher is going through. It's about an experience that might have happened. So they're more cautious of why are you behaving this way?
Right.
There might be something beyond that. But for us, we were even beaten up for things that we've never done at school. Gandhi, our teachers have problems at home.
Creating so much anxiety now in the rest of us. And all of a sudden, I've got this anxiety attached to mathematics or science because of something that has nothing to do with anything, you know?
I love the part of you created is so much anxiety, because we used to wake up at 4 o'clock to go to school to start practicing maths on the school board before the maths teacher comes in, because of the anxiety to say, if I fail this, I'm going to walk around with an H on my forehead.
My goodness.
And it's got nothing to do with me as a child. So now we are making this to be more of a topic of understanding.
Yeah.
We're making it to be a topic of I'm cautious, I've got knowledge, and I know that it is beyond the attitudes that I'm getting in front of me.
We've done a beautiful job
now, in the mental health space. Yeah.
Let's look at some harmful stereotypes, because obviously we know a lot of them. Some of us have held on to some of them. But what are some harmful stereotypes about mental illness that may be perpetuated by the media?
So when I educate about this topic, first of all, I would like to separate it to say, listen, there's mental health and then there's mental illness. So when we understand the difference between the two, then we will know where the stereotypes are coming
from. We often conflate the two, like they're the same thing. That's true.
Yes, and they're not. So a mental illness would be your schizophrenic behavior, your type 2, 3, bipolar, the ones that you can't function without that severe medication. The ones that means that you need to be at a psychiatric hospital where you're really going crazy. That's an illness, something that you are trying to live with it because you are diagnosed by your psychiatrist and all of that. And then a mental health. It's got nothing to do with that one. That one is the one that says, I'm not okay. I don't feel good. I feel depressed. I feel anxieties. I feel all of these emotions. I can function at work. You don't have to look at me as somebody who is not able to work. So because people cannot define the two, immediately when you say, I'm going for mental health or I'm going for therapy, your boss is, are you capable enough to do the work, the daily duties, because you're not okay. Now you are put on the bracket of somebody who is not well. You are treated or stereotyped according to somebody who's going through a lot of things.
You can't be trusted.
That time you're just that time you're just going through divorce and it's not that deep. That time you're just experiencing your child's behavior, alcoholic, it's not that deep. It won't affect your work. So anything that has to do with a mental illness or wellness, when it's undefined, then people tend to now start saying, no, we don't trust this person. They might mess up the work. You get a package of going home.
Yeah. That sounds terrible. And like you're saying, sometimes it's just a matter of expressing that I'm not in a good space right now. It's not to say I'm not capable or I can't do the job anymore. It's just for understanding. And maybe I guess it's a request for some kind of understanding or patience or empathy or just an expression, just so that I have someone to share with and let you know I'm going through something, you know? And unfortunately that then gets you painted as incapable.
And then when you don't share because you've got that fear of being painted, then that's where it gets to the severeness because you're not taking care of it. You are afraid of mentioning it. You are afraid of going for therapy because if what most of my clients will come to me to say, Busi, if I come to you, I'm going to report it my work as to what am I dealing with. And I'm like, no, it's just to say we're having a conversation, we're checking in, sort of like coaching, building your plan. We can't really go deep into what you're going through because they're afraid that if it is known, it's still a taboo at work.
Exactly.
So a lot of people will not come to therapy because they're afraid of what if they find out and then I'm still put in that package.
Hey, and then on the other side,
we still have a lot of work to do.
If we don't communicate, it's like, oh, why didn't you say something?
Yes, now it's too late. And it's like, why you've never said anything?
Exactly.
You're thinking,
Now, how do you think filmmakers and writers and the media in general, how can they responsibly portray mental health struggles?
First of all, Usof Indaba, who is one of my friends, would always say, Busi, you know why I love you? You're so real. You've got no time to listen to my cute stories. The question would always be, how are you because you were trending? How are you because you went through this? And when it comes to that space, people want to put a forefront space as I'm okay.
Yes.
I'm good. I've got it under control. And then I cannot be the weak one. And I love what Udineo Ranaga once did when she opened up to say, I am not okay. I'm dealing with this and this, and I need people to understand that mental health is real because they want to fabricate and put things around and put cushioning around, and all we see is they are thriving.
Yes.
They're humans like us. Remember, I always tell people I'm also into the entertainment space, and maybe what I put on my social media looks like I'm flourishing. And then if I don't get gigs, I'm not flourishing, but I'm still going to put up a face that I'm flourishing.
Of course.
But I don't have gigs, meaning there's no money coming in, meaning each and every anxiety of waking up without me being able to pay bills is going to put me in a depression state. But then if I'm honest with myself, no, you don't have that picture because all you see is what I put on my socials, next gig, next performance. Oh, I once did this and I put my previous work.
Yeah.
So now that is so dangerous because nobody knows what you're going through. And then when you are down and down the most, that is when we are shocked to say, oh, also you. Eesh. That time it's been an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
So when it comes to entertainment, I always preach to say, can you be so real so that you don't have to be real when it's tough?
Yeah.
It's so hard to be real when it's tough.
Yeah.
Now we're going to look at you with pity. We're going to look at you with judgments. We're going to look at you with all of these, whatever that we are coming with as we are a community of opening up and talking anything.
So it
needs to be a norm. It needs to be a norm. It needs to be not a taboo. I mean, someone must say that my therapist said to me, then you can say, what I get, this one is good.
I love that. And, you know, I can think of experiences, and I've seen this with other people as well, where, you know, you ask the polite question, how are you doing today? I'm good. And then the person sees you. The person actually sees you and says, no, how are you really? And that happened to me one time, and I just felt myself breaking down because I didn't expect that. I expect that when I tell you I'm fine, move on. Right?
Yes.
Just move on. And
that's
so
all
for
that
someone
means,
to pause and say, no, you're not, what's actually going on? Are you really okay? That just immediately barriers fell. And I know that feeling. It's incredible when you think about the fact that if that happened to me, that must happen to a lot of people who will, they know the correct answer, the politically correct answer, the Christian answer. I'm fine. I'm blessed. I'm good.
Gandhi,
behind the facade. There's something else going on. And all you needed was just for someone to say, no, don't give me the polite answer. How are you?
And that's what we need to keep on preaching and make it not something weird when someone says, no, I hear you, but how are you?
Yeah.
So when someone says, how are you, it should not come as an offensive or, and you know what, something that I want to share as well is that when we don't work on ourselves in terms of our mental health, somebody can say, how are you? And you can say, why are you judging me? Because you know what's inside you. You understand what you've judged yourself before the person is asking you, how are you?
So immediately.
And then you've got a defense mechanism and a defense mode. So a lot of the public figures, they have a defense mode and a defense mechanism to say, why are you asking me something deeper than what I'm giving you? So I'm going to block and I'm going to say, don't judge me, think that I don't have it under control. I'm okay.
Now
we need to work with you.
When you're talking about people in the public eye, like you're talking about, they have so much more to that they feel like they need to guard because why are you asking me that? As soon as I open up to you, you're running to the tabloids or whatever, and it becomes a big mess. So I can imagine their guards are even higher than the average person. So that must be a lot. You know, there's one thing that I think about when I think of the media and their portrayal of mental health struggles. I remember reading somewhere, I think it must have been a video of a child who was completely, you know, she was throwing a tantrum. It was a big girl, like maybe 10, 12 years old. And she's throwing a tantrum in the middle of a supermarket. She's pulling things off the shelves and she's really causing a scene. And so everybody is like in the comments, they're like, why is no one doing anything about this? Why are people just recording her? And then others were like, oh no, she must be on the spectrum or there must be something wrong with her mentally. And then that became a debate because there were people saying, why do you guys always go to mental health when someone is acting up? That's the story. It must be mental health. Don't you see that that vilifies people who are having mental health struggles to think that anytime someone is acting up, it must be a mental health thing, you know? And that could be very dangerous in the way that we view people who are going through these things. That sometimes it could just be a child acting up. Sometimes it could just be a tantrum.
Yeah.
It's not always... not all bad behavior must be attributed to, oh, it must be autism or it must be some other kind of situation or mental health thing that they must be going through. So what do you think of that? Do you think that there's something that the media can do in order for us to be able to not paint every bad behavior as excuse it away and say, oh, it must be someone who's sick?
So what the media can do in that space, or what I've always wished for, is people will laugh at me when I say we need to check in. You know, when we open our WhatsApps and our Facebook, Instagram and everything, if there can be an app that says check in when you open your social media. Mm-hmm. And when you're checking in, you just share how you're feeling today. You would realize that after 5 days as yourself, you've checked in either I'm tired, I'm sad, I'm drained, and then it will give you a definition of how your week was. Mm. And when that gives you a definition of how your week was, it's going to say now you're going through an acute depression, you're going through a stressful what.
Okay.
Then you realize that in 5 days I've got mental health problems. It doesn't really have to be a scenario or a big case or the worst case scenario in order for you to be defined as mentally unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally unhealthy means that a situation that you are feeling in 2 days, in 3 days, or in 5 days, or in a month, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
So social media is trying to spread the word out there, but we need more reality check-ins on us that we are the ones that are defining ourselves with the topic before we identify somebody as mentally ill.
Love that. Now, in what other ways would you say social media platforms can improve mental health awareness other than what you just shared now?
Yes. So in other ways, I think already they are doing the talks, they are doing the activists, mental health activists. We've got your seminars, we've got all of that. I feel like more into, remember when HIV was a big thing back in the days, and there was these short films about it, and we were so tuned in, watching and listening and following.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need more, because we love TV, or we love these series, or we love these anything that is on the socials.
Yeah.
So if we can have something like that where people can really follow up on how to even get a depression, how to be even anxiety, and it's specific on those topics.
Yeah,
it's something that can be along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to learn more about it and understand more about it and not be so ignorant because they've watched their favorite celebrity playing a role of being anxious or having depressed, but not just a movie with a depressed person.
Yes.
And then it gives us one definition of what depression is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so coming to the end of our conversation, Busi, can media campaigns effectively reduce mental health stigma, do you think?
I think so. I think they're trying. I think they're trying. Hence, I said, we're now more aware of these topics. Now we're more aware of these. Like, I'll tell people I've got a hike and therapy, you know, people will come because they know we're going to speak about something.
Yeah.
I had a lunch on narcissists to say, let's talk about narcissistic behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
I might be a narcissist, you might be a narcissist, your partner, your mom, or people that you know might be narcissists, but you really know what a narcissist is.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have a lunch on that. And you'd find out that people are interested in those kind of topics because they're learning more.
Yeah.
So yes, I would definitely say, of course, we are running for therapy. We do charity events for therapy. There's all these things to show that mental health is on our tip of our tongues.
That's encouraging to know, because I know that sometimes there are some things that are done because it's a trend, and you know, maybe it looks good on my company's profile that we do this and we shed light on that, but there's not really an intentional effort to make a change and to actually educate and inform people about mental health issues. So sometimes it is just, oh, it's Movember. Oh, it's this, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, but no one's actually paying attention. It's just a thing we do to tick the box. But to hear you saying that, no, there actually is a change and people are learning and opening their eyes and understanding, you know, so many different aspects of it that were stereotyped, misdiagnosed, misunderstood. It's very encouraging to know that there is actually a change happening. How can each one of us also get involved in making a positive change for the future?
So I think that we should never stop talking about it. It's an ongoing thing. It can become our lifestyle. The more we make people understand, people still don't know what Movember is.
Mm.
Companies still don't understand the importance of having a Movember wellness day for men in their workspace.
Mm-hmm.
People still don't understand that there needs to be a focus on women's health and wellness. And us as people, if we can spread more and not think that we, it's overrated, because I think we have that mentality that therapy is overrated. Yeah. There's been so many topics about it. No, it's not, because there's still a lot of people who don't understand. I see it when I speak on these platforms and people are looking at me like, huh? Mm. And I'm like, oh, I might think that you know, but you don't know. When I do check-ins, people are really like, oh, is that it? So we need to not stop educating about it. We need not to stop talking about it. If you feel like there's an initiative that would make an awareness of your own mental health, what you've been through, share. Because what you've been through can help somebody who does not want to talk about it, but then they were also in the same space as you. So sharing and talking and opening up these platforms, for me, I feel like it is a better space of continuing to spread the word and making awareness. Awareness means that we're teaching people every day.
Beautiful. Wusi, thank you so much for your time once again. Such a beautiful conversation. Thank you for coming through this whole week and sharing with us your insights and your lessons on these subjects. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful weekend ahead.
Thank you so much. You too. Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.